This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And are the Broncos getting ready for an absolute power move to move up the draft? Sean Payton, talking from the owners' meetings, says it's realistic.
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, no, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is, like, what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is. And yet, I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
Hard to predict what the cost is, but it's not unrealistic. Mm. It is realistic. And then you find out this other detail. So Sean Payton wasn't at J.J. McCarthy's pro day. Turns out they had it themselves. Listen to Sean Payton talk about their private meeting with J.J. McCarthy.
For some of these guys, we'll have an individual day separate. You know, I wasn't at JJ's pro day, but we had a private the next day where we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, just and made him throw all over again. You know, and I think it's all part of the process, and I think it can help lead to at least a more efficient and effective decision.
So you had your own personalized pro day with J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
And Phil, it lasted 4 to 5 hours? What is this, the media dinner at the combine? Holy smokes.
J.J. was tired.
Dude, typically you do not put, even in the season of smoke screens and lies, 4 to 5 hours with a prospect? Man, that feels real.
That's a real life date. You know, wine and dine, get to really know somebody. Get the ins and outs on why you did this, why you didn't do this. So the indications are showing that Sean does like J.J. McCarthy. The question is he in love with him? Is this the guy that he's in love with?
Right.
Or is he trying to fill him out and he loves somebody else and now he's trying to compare?
You know, I remember Drew Brees at the Super Bowl. He indicated that, and it was an indication, he didn't come out and say it.
Yeah.
But he indicated that Sean may have already loved someone in the draft. And I wonder if this dude is just head over heels for J.J. McCarthy. Because I don't know, and I say J.J. specifically because in addition to the news that we got that it's a 4 or 5 hour meeting, but I can't see Sean falling in love with a quarterback that's unrealistically gettable.
Yeah.
And J.J., like, he checks a lot of boxes and he's killing the draft process and more teams are doing a dive into what he did do at Michigan as opposed to focusing on what he didn't. He's just shooting up boards. And it does feel like, and maybe I'll end up being wrong and I'm not even saying I'm right here, but it feels like JJ, if you move up to 4, you can get him. But it also is a risk if you move heaven and earth to get there. And for some reason, the Commanders or the Patriots see the same stuff you do. And then you're forced to alter your plan.
Well, that's the question right now. If J.J. McCarthy is moving up everybody's draft board, he may not be there. He may be the second quarterback off the board. In Jim Harbaugh's case, he thinks he should be the first quarterback off the board. Right? If we can only move up to number 4, where the Arizona Cardinals are,
yeah.
Then what happens when J.J. McCarthy's not there?
Right, right.
You know, we just moved up. We gave up draft picks. We may have given up a star player to get to where we are at number 4, mm-hmm. and he's not there anymore. What do you do then? Is there another quarterback that you love? Is there another quarterback that you're hoping is there? Is it really J.J. McCarthy that they're after, or they're hoping that somebody picks up J.J. McCarthy because there's another quarterback that they truly love, that Sean truly loves, that we don't know right now, that we don't think he likes? These are all the questions that we should be asking.
Yeah, you're right. And it brings up the question of, like, can you love more than one guy? Can you love more than one guy? Because if you can, you can feel comfortable about moving up to number four.
Yeah.
But if you don't, man, that is almost as big of a risk to move heaven and earth, and you're going to move up there. And if there's not a quarterback you like, you're not taking a positional player and trading multiple, you know, first round picks or whatever it's going to cost. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. But the specific cost that is. So I'll ask you, do you think that you can love two quarterbacks? I think reasonable minds can disagree on this. People at the station, we've been going back and forth on this for years, as football fans have. What do you think?
I don't think you can love two quarterbacks. And here's why. Because there's something about that one quarterback that you fall in love with. Everybody is different in life. Everybody is a different person. You don't always love the person that you see from somewhere else, but then you love this person that's in front of you. There's reasons to it. Everybody has a certain person that they love. For Sean, if it's J.J. McCarthy, there's not another J.J. McCarthy out there. There's only one J.J. McCarthy. So how can you love another quarterback? Now, you may be able to work with another quarterback and say, this quarterback can work in my system, and I can learn to really like him and possibly love him later on. But right now, at this instant, with two quarterbacks saying, I love you and I love you, I don't think you could do that.
Mm. I think it's possible.
Mm.
I think it's possible.
You freaky, freaky little thing. Zach's on some freaky stuff. I think it's possible.
I think it's possible because if you're in Buffalo, do you think they love Josh Allen?
Who? Because the GM did. And you've seen the video already, but I had to resend it to you, where Buffalo Bill fans were upset.
But that
general manager believed, trust, and loved what Josh Allen had to bring to the table.
Right.
And now they should be thanking the general manager for bringing Josh Allen there, because that's one of the best things that has happened.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the best thing that's happened for the Bills since, I don't know, Jim Kelly or something. Do you think if there's, and this would never happen, but it's a total hypothetical, I'm just doing for the exercise.
Yeah.
Say Josh Allen was no longer the quarterback of the Bills because the Chiefs said, we'll trade you Mahomes for Allen. Do you think they would also love Pat Mahomes?
Yeah. I think that they would love Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes has already shown us at the highest level what he brings to the table. We don't know what J.J. McCarthy has to bring to the table. For all we know, it's another Zach Wilson.
Sure. No, and you are right. And that is the risk involved here. You are right. Because 3 years ago, Zach Wilson was being talked about like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. That's the scary part.
I mean, what did he go, three? I think he went three. I think he went three overall, Zach Wilson.
One or it two, was, yeah. Or it was second. I think was it second
after, this is three drafts ago, right? This was, That wasn't Burroughs. It was Trevor Lawrence. It's Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Okay. But I think that, like, I do think you can love more than one quarterback. Now, you may have you may be in love with one just a little bit more. But when
love's a hard word, Zach.
I know.
You're supposed to, now, and throughout your life, you can love more than just one person. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Sure.
But love is supposed to be for that. Like, it's an intimate situation where it's like you and that person like have some kind of connection where it's like, I can't be without you. Sean Payton's looking at J.J. McCarthy like, I love you. I can't be without you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get you. But are you willing to do that for another quarterback?
Right.
When you have J.J. McCarthy on your mind?
This is so unscientific.
Yeah.
I can't prove any of this. But what I do know is if you do not know for 100% certain that J.J. is going to be there at four, and you move up to four knowing that there's risk involved that he may go third, which he may. He may go second by the time we get to draft night. And you move up to four, you better be prepared with a plan, like, I don't say plan B, but like an A and a 1A. And I don't know if you can trade up to four if you're not sure that guy's going to be there without loving another human being. And I believe that when Kyle Shanahan, and I have no way of proving this, but I believe when Kyle Shanahan and the Niners moved up where they ultimately drafted Trey Lance, I believe that they were not sure at the time of moving up who they were going to draft, him or Mac Jones. And Chris Sims
yeah.
has recently come out and said Kyle's initial guy was Mac Jones. Now, why am I quoting Chris Sims? Because they're like blood brothers and they got each other's names tattooed on each other from when they were at Texas. And it's like, I believe he knows that.
And we don't know why. Or maybe you do. But why did they end up going with Trey Lance?
Was it John Lynch? I believe there was a disagreement between those two. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they went with Trey Lance. Again, there's no way of proving this. But the odds were one way.
Yeah.
And then on draft day, they flipped out of nowhere. So someone found out something. And again, no way of proving it. But I used to watch The Bachelor. Okay. I don't anymore. But I used to watch it. And man, it sounds like a fun process. Oh, go hang out with these 20 girls. And, you know, over the course of 3 months or whatever. Sure. So yeah, I'll do that. But then you get down to the final two, three. And you're breaking someone's heart and you're emotionally tied to them, even though that might not be the person that you end up picking. And they've already had relations, fantasy suite. And it's like, you know, and I see the strife on some of these guys' faces sometimes, or girls, when they have to pick and say goodbye to the other one. It's like they're going to ultimately pick one, but there is real ties to the other one too. And sometimes they pick the one and they circle back. They're like, oh my God, I screwed up. And I think you can feel like that about quarterbacks, ultimately. I do.
Yeah, you could. You could. But guess what? This ain't fantasy suites. You don't get to have that love time with J.J. McCarthy and,
right.
you know, Drake May.
Right.
You know, you're picking on the fly of who you truly love and who you're in love with at the quarterback position. And we can't get this wrong. All right, Broncos country, let's get this straight. At this point, at this time, all right, in our lives, we cannot get this wrong because we are giving the whole entire house. We're getting the whole house out to bring in a young quarterback that we think is a franchise quarterback. I'm just nervous that if it is J.J. McCarthy, we give everything and more to get up to number four and J.J. McCarthy is not there. Is there another one that he looks at? Because you can't love two, but you're saying I can win a lot of games with. You know, there has to be a plan.
Right. It's so risky.
Because you have the Vikings that are going to move up.
Yeah.
They have shown their hand.
Yeah.
You have the New York Giants that have talked about moving up. There are other teams sneaking around trying to figure out how to move up. So it's like, Denver, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up to get someone like J.J. McCarthy, if that's the case? I always go back to what Sean said, which was so confident of saying, I feel like we're good at something and a lot of teams are not. Well, it seems like a lot of teams are on J.J. McCarthy, right? So
maybe when he said that, and by the way, I have it right here. This is what he said.
Say it.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
See, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I believe when he said that, I think he's talking about J.J. McCarthy. And I think that is before J.J. blew up. This is, that was back, that audio is, I don't know, 6 weeks old or whatever. This goes back to Drew Brees at the Super Bowl saying, Sean's got a guy in the draft. And I believe that guy was J.J. And when he said that, J.J. hadn't blown up yet. And I think he thought he had the inside track on maybe the stuff that NFL teams found out 6 weeks later, 5 weeks later, or maybe they knew the whole time and now it's just open. And now it's like, no, dude, the secret's out. People want this kid, J.J. McCarthy, bad.
But Sean has played a lot, like has coached a lot of football. He's been in a lot of draft rooms. For him to go out there and say that, knowing that people are going to find out at some point how good a quarterback is, like that's just the nature of it. You know, people start to talk, and maybe Sean was talking too much and he got out.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's something more up his sleeve, and that's why he's so confident. You know, because right now, can you be confident? Everybody's trying to get J.J. McCarthy, it seems like.
Yeah.
So how confident can you be knowing that you're going to be number four?
The only way there's real confidence that feels certain is if he loves Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I just don't know how you could...
Unless he trades up, knowing that someone's going to pick up J.J. McCarthy and someone like Drake May sitting right there, Jaden Daniels is sitting right there. Somebody's sitting right there, and maybe he knows some more than, you know, than what we know. Like you said before, who knows? We're doing sports talk radio.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams may not go to first pick of the draft.
Oh.
Someone like JJ McCarthy may jump him.
Could you imagine?
That's crazy.
No, dude.
He's not going to pass the second pick.
If Jim Harbaugh and his prediction comes true, by the way, because he said that and we laughed at him. He's like, by the time the draft process is over, JJ McCarthy's going to go number one. We're like, oh, look at this guy.
He advocated for him again at the coaches retreat.
Greatest pro day of all time, he said. Yeah, so.
Like, Jim, simmer down. Okay, it's pro day. They're throwing the ball. All right, there's nobody attacking them. They're supposed to look good. Zach Wilson had a greatest pro day ever, and look where it got him.
You know who else had a great pro day? No joke. Paxton Lynch. It was like raining, it was windy, and he did it anyway. And they're like, look at how that ball knifes through the winter wind. He's built for Denver.
Winter is coming.
All right, what's the RamosLaw.com text line saying, Kamaje?
All right, so Mike is questioning you guys. He's saying this is a silly conversation. Everyone knows that Sean would take Caleb over JJ. I think what Mike is failing to realize is, do the Broncos have enough capital to move up to number one? Like, I'm not understanding.
Wait, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. We didn't even, we weren't talking about Caleb Williams moving up to one, or Caleb being better than
JJ.
Is this
Mike?
No, not Mike.
I was going to say, what's going on, man? No, we don't have enough. Like, you can give up 3 first-round picks. And Pastor Tan, are you willing to do that to get up to number one?
Phil, this is a dead-on-arrival conversation.
Yeah.
The Bears already traded Justin Fields.
Yeah.
They are taking Caleb Williams number one. That is going to happen. Unless it doesn't.
JJ McCarthy starts streaking up the board.
Dude, could you imagine? That, you're talking about a, holy smokes.
What if the first one off the board is like Drake May? Like, what are we doing?
Man, I watched Baker Mayfield go from a second round pick to number one overall in about 2 months span. And JJ is, he's got a rocket attached to him. I mean, this guy has gone to the moon here in the last month. So we'll see. And then where does Jarrett Stidham fit in this? It's like, do you hear Ian Rappaport? This was rich.
Which one? Because Ian Rappaport got in trouble at the little
And I think this is part of the report why he got in a little bit of trouble with Sean.
Sean Payton is one with a lot of quarterbacks who are not as good as Jarrett Stidham. You know, I do think they'll add a quarterback, but I don't know that the urgency is there because he's so good that I think they say, you know what, we can take some raw materials and he will get that person to perform.
And I think I may have misunderstood that quote when it was first said. I think when I first heard it, I heard it as Rappaport was talking about how Stidham's so good.
Yeah.
Because Sean is super bullish on Stidham. But I think that he's talking about, I think he was trying to pump Sean Payton's tires and saying Sean's so good that he could work with this raw material in Jarrett Stidham and still find ways to win. And he's better than whoever he's thinking of in his mind, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, whatever. Yeah. But Sean Payton was asked about Stidham this morning. And whether the vision he had for Stidham has changed after we saw Stidham play for the Broncos the last 2 games of the year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think relative to his vision, it's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last 2 games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player, and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones.
Anxious to see what he looks like when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones. Is he is he competing for a starting role with the Broncos?
He's definitely competing to be the starter. I don't think we have a term, driver's seat, really. But he is going to compete for that position. I know he's anxious and excited to do that. And I'm sure there'll be other candidates that will be competing with him.
Candidates that will be competing with him.
So is he talking about not just the draft, but we're going to bring somebody in?
They're going to bring someone in.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, probably. Honestly.
Get out the wheelchair. Let's go, man.
Oh, that's right. I actually do think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. No joke. Because there's not too many viable candidates left. And if you think about the way that Tannehill has played, he plays on schedule. And if he's not on schedule, he's in big trouble usually. Not mobile like he used to be. And he was never that mobile. But yeah, this is, and I'm just curious if the Broncos do go with a first round pick, how will they divide those reps up? Will Jarrett Stidham start the season? Or will they actually go with a guy like Ryan Tannehill to start the things and not Jarrett Stidham? And Stidham will be in the background, like a lot of Broncos country hopes is the case anyway.
See, Jarrett Stidham at this point in Ryan Tannehill's career is better than Ryan Tannehill. So I don't see Ryan Tannehill beating Jarrett Stidham out.
I like that, actually, yeah.
You know? But for the rookie, I think that, and this happens for every single rookie, Zach. Everywhere I have been, even if they know that they're going to start the rookie, they always put him behind the veteran to start it off so that there's, you know, no kind of commotion going on, no friction with the team because you decided to jump over somebody that has never played an NFL snap.
Right.
It isn't until you get into the preseason where you see something special, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, like we're going to put him over the veteran now because he's ready to play. So I don't know when that time's going to come. But Jarrett Stidham is going to definitely take the first team snaps at the beginning of the camp. And if it isn't Ryan Tannehill that's going to compete, it will be that rookie competing. But can he process things like Sean wants him to process it? Can he remember things? Is he smart enough to relay the messages at the time? Or does he need time to kind of brew and simmer and kind of grow? And that's what's going to see if – or it's going to take place in the sense of – just in him being the starter, if that's the case, if that quarterback, that young rookie can't do that, can't process things fast enough.
Well, we'll see. Jeff Duncan, who covered the Saints and Sean Payton for a decade and a half down in New Orleans, tweeted this morning, quote, if Sean Payton falls in love with a quarterback, he will go get him or die trying. Trust that, end quote. So the next month is going to be absolutely fascinating for a bunch of different reasons as it relates to the Denver Broncos. Okay. Speaking of the Broncos and their general manager, George Payton, what did he say about his trade for Russell Wilson after looking back at it? You'll hear his response and we'll react to it coming up next. Oh, at the bottom of hour number four, the show flew by.
It's because we had to deal with your hiccups all day.
Oh, God. Dude.
We tried everything.
Seriously. Holding my breath, drinking a cup of water with a fork in it with the prongs into my forehead to steady my head and neck.
And then you were doing this weird gesture movement with your head earlier trying to demonstrate some things. Hopefully nobody's seen it.
Paper towel over the cup of water, chugging it. I'll tell you what, man, we threw that out there to the RamosLaw.com text line in like the hour number two or whatever it was. We got over 100 suggestions on the RamosLaw.com text line with people telling me to plug my nose and my ears while I drink water, which I don't know how that's possible.
Well, see, ask the RamosLaw text line if they have some for a pinched nerve, because for some odd reason, I pinched my nerve over here just looking at you, man.
Oh, my gosh.
For real, like, I moved my neck a couple times. I felt like I got hit.
Dude.
Man.
You're getting old.
Yeah, I'm scared.
You're getting old.
A pinched nerve, man.
All right. What did Broncos general manager George Payton say about his trade for Russell Wilson after the benefit of hindsight, looking back at it? Here's George Payton on that question this morning.
We took a shot on a quarterback who had had a lot of success in this league. I don't know, 9 Pro Bowls, won the most games first 10 years in the league. And it wasn't just Russ. I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors to why we didn't win. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't play good enough offense. We didn't win enough games. I'm accountable for that. And so I'll just leave it at that. You know, Russ, no one tried harder than Russ to make this work. I appreciate the effort, the professionalism he showed. Man, total pro. Wish him the best in Pittsburgh. He's going to a good team, and just wish him the best.
Interesting. On multiple levels. What do you think about him saying it wasn't all on Russ? Lots of factors contributed to this. What do you think is going through his mind when he said that?
I think what's going through his mind is Russ tried to do everything he could to be the guy that we all wanted him to be, right? Even though it didn't work out here. And someone like Sean came in and didn't necessarily care too much of what Russ had going on and had it in his own head, own mind, that it's my way or the highway. If Russ can't do what I need him to do, I'm going to get rid of him. And it left George way out of it. Like, George had no control after that. Look, George wanted everything to work out. We wanted everything to work out here. So George would have been willing to do whatever it takes for Russ to be successful, because guess what? George gave him that contract. George is the one that brought him in.
Yes.
But because now Sean's the captain of the ship, George has to sit there and watch Sean, and Sean's not too happy about having someone like Russell Wilson as his quarterback.
I think one of the major factors that he's and this largely not it gets forgotten, but I feel like it doesn't get enough attention. When you talk about Russell Wilson not working out in Denver, and he's citing lots of factors, it wasn't just Russ. You know what one of the factors was? Your hiring of Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm.
That was the worst single hire in the history of the Denver Broncos. Worse than Josh McDaniels. Because even though Josh might have, his downfall might have been louder and more disruptive and Hurricane Josh and more like just a kind of evil, at least Josh had pelts on the wall to get hired in the first place. Nathaniel Hackett was a Hail Mary. It was a Hail Mary hire to lure Rodgers. You don't get Rodgers. Now he's got to work with Russ, but he's never actually been a head coach. He wasn't even calling plays in Green Bay. I mean, that was such a bad tone setter for the Russ in Denver experiment, and it might have never worked anyway, regardless. But that was so bad. That entire year, I don't even know how to view it, because it's like Hackett was so inept.
Mm.
And, you know, I do appreciate him raising his hand saying, I'm accountable. He said, we're all accountable. I'm accountable.
He needed to.
Yeah.
He needed to.
Yeah.
He is accountable. He's supposed to be the head man in charge, the general manager. He went off the record when people were getting drafted and we got Russell Wilson to go out there and say that smart remark saying, we're just going to watch Russell Wilson highlights.
Correct.
Right? That was when everything was going well.
Yeah.
And now you have to speak to the press. You have to speak to all of us. You better put yourself in there, because you are one of the biggest reasons why we're in this situation. You're the biggest reason why someone like Justin Simmons probably is not here anymore.
Right. No, and it's so true. And gosh, we've been over it. We know it. We, you know, that's as much as we disagree on Russ and have disagreed on Russ and the shortcomings and whatnot. Where we do agree is the harm that George Payton has brought to this franchise, and he's a good guy. This isn't personal. But it is remarkable to me, and I'm saying the same thing we've said for months, but it is remarkable that we are in a new league year, and it's 2024, and it's George Payton at the owner meetings being asked about this stuff. I have to pinch myself and be like, yeah, no, he's George is still really here. I mean, it,
for the time being, Zach.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
No.
You know, we don't know what's to come with this situation. For all we know, this may be the last time that we hear from George.
It could be.
You know?
It could be.
And hey, maybe he is here for another year. But we know at this point, Sean's in charge. Sean is the general manager. And George is just there to be the fake general manager.
Yeah.
Like, what would you call it?
I don't know. He wasn't even on Sean Payton's interviews. Like, he was already on the way out. And I just can't believe he's still here.
Yeah.
The coach is going into his second year, but the GM wasn't even involved in the hiring of the coach. It's just, it's disjointed. It's disjointed. It's wild. And I want to talk more about that question. Like, is George Payton, this assumption that because he's here now, will he be here week one? I'm sticking to my guns. I don't think he's going to be here.
Hmm.
And we'll talk about more of that more expansively tomorrow. Okay. What are the five things we're watching for tonight? A really, really fun show today. But as we look ahead, where will our eyes and energy go? That is coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
I got five on it.
Drives Top 5 of the Night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. We have our dude, Will Peterson, from DenverSports.com. We have Drew and KJ hanging out behind the glass. And Phil and I are nearly always here. So what are we looking for tonight, man? You guys can take it any direction you want to go. Phil, we'll start with you. Where are your eyes going tonight, man?
All right. Well, of course, you got the Denver Nuggets, right? Playing against the Memphis Grizzlies. We should win this game, boys. It should be a blowout if we had everybody there.
Right.
I'm looking for MPJ to have a bounce back game. Okay. His pop, Jokic, is going to be in there, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like Jokic is playing tonight.
And he always does well when Jokic is there.
Yep. Most people do.
Well,
you'd find a way to put a bucket in there if you're playing side by side with
Jokic.
I'm
thinking more of a double double for me.
Oh, double double like a drink order? That's like,
I mean, like maybe 10 rebounds, 14 points, 13 points.
Okay.
I'll probably miss a free throw.
Yeah.
Okay. 13 points, 3 steals, 2 blocks.
Then you pause the game and go get some food.
Yeah, you know, get those chicken nuggets you like from Ball Arena. So, yeah, I'm going to be on the Denver Nuggets, man. And then after that, finishing up the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
Watch a little bit of American Idol after that.
I was going to say, don't you have one of your singing shows on tonight?
Yeah, man. Right. I'm a busy man.
Yes, you are. I don't know how you fit it all in. Okay, Will. What are you looking for tonight?
I am watching Iowa and West Virginia in the women's tournament because that's who the CU Buffs will get in the Sweet 16. Everyone thinks it's going to be Caitlin Clark. I think it's going to be Caitlin Clark. Let's check that box, make it official, because there's two sides to this, fellas. There's part of me that goes, if it's West Virginia, CU's going to the Elite Eight. Let's go. But if it's Caitlin Clark, it's the biggest player, the biggest star in the game against the Buffs looking for their revenge from last year.
Yeah.
So I am split. I'm not going to lie. There's part of me that thinks it's better for the Buffs if West Virginia pulls the upset. And there's part of me that's like, no, you know what? I want Caitlin Clark on a Friday night on ESPN.
Yeah.
And I want the Buffs on the biggest stage against the biggest star in the sport.
You know, and the Buffs have shown they can beat anyone at any given night. Anyone. And you go back to the first game of the season to figure that out. And that team that they beat Caitlin Clark last year. So I'm talking about LSU, of course. I love that. That was going to be mine. So give me a second to think, because that's a good one. Drew, what do you got tonight?
All right, guys. The Avalanche are not playing tonight, so it should, in theory, be a light night on the ice. There's only two games. However, both of these games have playoff implications for the Colorado Avalanche. You got the Vegas Golden Knights and the St. Louis Blues going at each other. Vegas with a 4-point lead over St. Louis for the second wild card right now in the Western Conference. The other game, you got LA and Vancouver. Of course, the Avalanche only 1 point behind Vancouver for the top record in home ice in the Western Conference. So big time playoff implications for the Avs tonight.
I love it, Drew Spivak. Always thinking about his hockey. Kamaje. Are you about to, like, break down another piece of the bracket on the women's side?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to the Iowa side of the bracket as well.
Okay.
In the Sweet 16, we have a potential of LSU versus UCLA, which is why I have to watch UCLA-Creighton tonight. Creighton, they are absolutely lights out from downtown. And I think they could give UCLA problems. I'm talking about up until the last second tonight. So that's going to be an interesting game. And the reason I say that is because we could eventually see all roads lead to an Elite Eight Iowa versus LSU. But it all starts with if UCLA could potentially derail that eventual matchup that everyone wants to see. So this game has super significance because if UCLA loses, I'm telling you, LSU and Iowa, they're on a collision course.
I wonder, do you guys see that Kim Mulkey situation where the story from the Washington Post is supposed to be dropping?
Yeah.
That writer's been working on it for 2 years. She's calling it basically a bad actor who's trying to smear her. She's hired the best defense team in the country, defamation stuff. But the Washington Post, like, that's a big boy outlet. I mean, that's owned by a billionaire. So I don't know what the next, like, that story with Kim Mulkey feels bigger than anything going on with LSU specifically right now. So we'll wait. I mean, we'll see it this week. The article's gonna drop or it's not. So
how about Buffs, Tigers, and the Elite Eight, and it drops like an hour before tip. That'd be good for CU. Trying to go to the Final Four.
That would be great.
Here comes Corella DeVille herself, all upset about this article.
She is a trip, man. But I'm just fascinated with that dynamic there. I like everyone's thought. I'm going to be watching Nuggets. I'm going to start with Iowa, West Virginia, knowing that the winner gets the bus. But I'll transition to the Denver Nuggets. Anytime Nikola Jokic steps on a basketball court, you have a chance to watch history. And, man, this guy's going to win the MVP for a third time. Really should be 4 years in a row, which would just be iconic. And then, late night, the transition to a documentary about the British Bulldog on A&E. All right, boys, Phil. Fun show, man.
Yeah, man. Flew by.
So much stuff going on with the Broncos. So much holdover stuff that we'll talk about tomorrow. I think George Payton's going to get fired. After the draft.
So. I think George Payton's going to get fired as well.
Okay. We can talk about that tomorrow. I want to hear your thoughts on it. I'll share mine. We'll react to the Nuggets. We'll know this time tomorrow who CU has awaiting them later this week. Got the Avs. Avs next game is
tomorrow night. Ball Arena.
Tomorrow night.
We got a game at Ball Arena every single night this week.
Wow.
Nuggets, Avs. Being on that conversion crew, they're gonna earn. I mean, they always earn their money, but they're really earning their money going hoops to hardwood. Hardwood to ice. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, every single night.
Remember that was happening in the playoffs a couple years back?
Yeah.
You get the time-lapse videos of, I mean, it'd be an hour after the game, and they'd be breaking whatever game down and flipping it, and it's just, it's so impressive. All right, man. Well, really fun show. Will, who are you working with tonight?
James Merrillet.
Oh, that'll be fun.
When you hear from the Big Four in one day, I assume James has got a lot of thoughts. You got Sean, you got Damani, you got George, and you got Greg. It's plenty to unpack.
Yeah, we didn't get to the stuff with Greg. We talked about the uniforms from Damani. Man, we still have so much to get to tomorrow. Can't wait to come in here and do this job with you, Phil. Have a great night.
You too, man.
All right, we'll step aside. We got Denver Sports Tonight coming up next.